card is only about disease control, that is stopping the epidemic, and not about survival once infected, why is it that people would go to an Ebola treatment unit to be isolated if they fear they will not receive care? And the answer is they won't, right? And this was not new. Treatment centers and treatment units that were really isolation and quarantine facilities proliferated across the continent of Africa during under colonial rule and remained a feature there even after the end of colonial rule. And that pathology of focusing on disease control over care, I think, really weakened the epidemic. With coronavirus in the United States, on the other hand, we do have to look carefully at case fatality rate. As you've seen, it has been all over the map, and I believe it will be better during this current surge because people are more experienced, right? But we don't have a control over care.
We have pathology. 10 seconds, Paul.
We don't have a control over care system here. We have containment nihilism, giving up on containment too early.
We want to thank you so much for being with us, and there's so much more to discuss. I encourage people to read Dr. Paul Farmer's book, Fevers, Feuds, and Diamonds, Ebola and the Ravages of History. He's an infectious disease doc. He is a medical anthropologist. He is chair of global health and social medicine at Harvard Medical School, co-founder and chief strategist of Partners in Health, also featured in the documentary Bending of the Arc. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Salem Progressive Film Series presentation of Holding the Thin Green Line. This documentary slideshow tells the stories of people fighting to save the souls of their communities and preserve the integrity of the Pacific Northwest as they fight to stop the world's largest methanol refinery from being built in Colima, Washington, and a massive LNG facility in Tacoma. From December 6th to the 11th, the slideshow can be viewed at your own convenience at kboo.fm/greenline. Then on December 11th from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll hold a live Q&A session with activists who are featured in the documentary. Again, that's Holding the Thin Green Line documentary slideshow screening, December 6th to the 11th, and a live Zoom Q&A on December 11th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is in Willamette Week's 2020 Give Guide. Donate at least $10 to KBOO through the Give Guide, and you will receive the Chinook Book mobile app, giving you access to hundreds of coupons to a wide variety of local businesses. You'll also get a few other goodies. Thanks to a very generous donor, all new and increased donations to KBOO through the Give Guide will be matched up to $25,000. The Give Guide and these offers end really, really late on December 31st, so donate today at kboo.fm/give.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01 a.m. It's Friday. Mind the gap. We're going to bridge it because girls are powerful. Stay tuned.
Hello, hello. How's it going? You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy, and on the line with me is Althea. How's it going, Althea?
Hey. Whoa. Hey. Hey, it's going good. I tried to talk, and no words came out. I'm doing all right. Tammy, how are you?
I'm well. And then in the studio, per usual, is Sonia. How are you, Sonia?
Well, I miss us all having our little, like, glass-separated little dance party during the opening music, but I can picture it. I picture y'all sitting at home. I don't know what your homes look like, but I kind of just imagine a nice, cozy little spot where you're sitting there with your headphones on and you're jamming out, just like I am.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's why I feel a little little winded trying to yeah. greet us all. So.
I'm not winded. Come on. I can dance for 20 seconds. Not like that.
None of us is Queen Bey. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
I was doing the full, like, you have to imagine I was doing the full dance routine, and that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, so was I. Yeah. Yeah. And totally.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
I wish I knew some sort of dancing routines. Yeah, but it's another beautiful day, another Friday morning here in Portland, Oregon. And you know, just trying to kick off the day with something a little sweeter, a little nicer. I personally yesterday woke up and I saw that an app that I have on my phone called Spotify had arranged all of my music for me from the last year. And I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled. And I, you know, it was like going through the last year, which has been, as Ophelia loves to say, unprecedented mm-hmm. and trying times. And then to just have all my music kind of laid out for me, and not just my own, but other music that was like related to quarantine and lockdown and all of the uprisings and the protests. And it was like the last year, but in, you know, served up, curated in the best way possible, which is music. And Althea, I know that you were making some jokes about it online, and then you eventually got peer pressure to also post your top 20.
So yeah, Spotify does the whole rap thing every year, and every year, like around this time, like beginning of December, it kind of like becomes a meme of people being like, look at my Spotify rap, look how like cool and smart and interesting and like sexy I am for all of my mm-hmm. good music that I listen to. So I was kind of making fun of that because it comes around every year, but basically it'll show you like who your top artists are, what your top genres were, what your top main songs were.
It is so, yeah, different this year, though.
It is a little bit different. I think it's like a little bit more elaborate, and I kind of felt like, I mean, sometimes when I get the Spotify Wrapped, and I've had Spotify for a couple of years, I'll like look at it and they're like, hey, you really love this song, and I was like, I really love that song. That was in January. I'm a different person now. That doesn't represent me, Spotify. How dare you? Or I've had some iteration of that attitude of like, I've grown so much in this year, and I can't believe that I was like, you know, moping around listening to that song 20 times in a row on like January 4th or whatever. But this year I feel like, I don't know, because I mean, people who've listened to the show will know that I will sometimes like gripe about companies being overly familiar with like the hard times we're in, these unprecedented mm-hmm. times. I mean, it's tired to me to say that, but for some reason I feel like Spotify did it well, or did it credibly. They're like, hey, 2020 was a long year. Look at all these things that you did, though. And they pitch it to you as like, you're a pioneer. You discovered 150 artists this year. Look at all these
things. You tried
30 genres. Yeah.
I was. And you're like, I had 500. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did better than me.
I was sitting there looking at it. I was feeling so proud. I'm like, this is, must be like to see a parent, you know, and see your child grow up or something. you feel so proud. It's like, I did that. Thank you, Spotify. But I wonder if, you know, because you know, and then I realized, oh wait, they have one for 2016, 15. Like I didn't, you know. But like you said, it is a little bit more elaborate, and it does feel, I think, a lot more rewarding because, you know, we've been going through so much this year, you know. And I like how they also said towards the end of the slides of the stuff they're showing you, they're like, all right, we don't have much longer. We're almost through it. We got this. And again, like you were saying, it always feels very disingenuous, but I don't know. They nailed it. Maybe because they just made me feel like I'm like such a curator of fine arts or something, but
yeah.
I was like, we will get through this, Spotify.
I'm the smartest and the best at listening to music, is what they're saying. But I think it's also that, like, I don't know. In some ways, there's so much that's happened this year, but in other ways, there's been like incredible stagnation. And so mm-hmm. like, oh, these are your top songs. It's like, oh yeah, I love those songs. Those songs are amazing, and I stand by them 100%.
Oh gosh, yeah. And they have all the top songs that are lockdown related from artists who were, I guess, recording, you know, from home and stuff like that. And man, there's some songs on there that are just so, it's like, I don't even know this person, but they're describing exactly how I you know, kind of spent my days in the last 8-9 months. And I don't know, it's familiar in a good way. I like it. But again, also just being a brainchild of good music, you know, it comes with the territory, I guess. And Spotify yeah. nailed it. They got me.
Well, and I do have good taste, and no one should be surprised. Thank you, Spotify, for acknowledging my accomplishments. You know, like, how often does you get a regular thing every year? It's like, hey, look at all the good you did by listening to music. It's like, wow, thank you.
They're never going to judge you either. Like, oh, what are you doing listening to Taking Back Sunday? You're too old for that. And yeah. I'm like, no. They're like, you went back to your roots. Good for you.
Yeah, totally. Mine was yeah. like, you listened to a lot of Wings this year, and that's cool, and we like that about you. And I'm like, hell yeah. I got deep in it in, like, September.
Good for you. No, they have some
yeah,
great
thank
stuff.
You.
You know, Paul was my mother's favorite Beatle. And my earliest memories are of Reagan and the Pope and John Lennon all being shot and Mount St. Helens erupting. So I probably dated myself right there. But until I was about, it was somewhere in the mid-80s that I finally realized, whoa, wait. John Lennon used to be in the Beatles. Paul McCartney was in the Beatles. Whoa. I knew about Wings and Paul McCartney, and I knew about John Lennon, and I knew about the Beatles, but I never connected them until I was like mm-hmm. in my early teens.
Wow, what a thrill it would be to thread that needle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like listening to Chris Cornell and 5 different bands and being like, wait a minute.
Am I wrong to feel like those are similar? Or like...
What?
Audio? Yeah, I've gotten, like... my dad will, like, ask me, like, oh, do you know what band this is? I'm like, is this the Foo Fighters? And he's like, no, it's the other one. I said, okay, yeah. Sorry.
Oof, I'm looking forward to that when I'm doing that to people.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
well,
what you wearing
that
band
it's
better
when you do it to your own kids than just, like, random people. Because that's
another
thing.
Oh, I was
going to
do random teams.
Oh, I mean, that's good, too. Yeah, but I feel like there's, like, I don't know, as much as I like take personal pride in my music taste, I also have like insecurity about people thinking that it's bad or like, I don't know, there's like music elitism, you know, and I
oh,
feel
yeah,
like Spotify
totally.
Rap Spotify Rap kind of captured the me that I want to exist, which is someone who's a real tastemaker, and everybody else is wrong, not me. So
they're just ignoring all the stuff that's like, you know, not cool, and they're like, oh no, this is totally what you listen to. Like, I don't know, I feel like there's a little bit, you know, but they did wrap it up nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also want to say that I don't have music elitism, just in case anybody was wondering if I would look down on you for your music preferences. I won't.
I'm not a music elitist.
Country and pop have a place in the music landscape.
Music elitism is for plebs,
the ones you want to rag on. Sorry, go ahead.
Music elitism is for plebs. That's beneath me.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that.
Nice. I learned a lot about my friends. I guess to follow up what you were saying, I know that in my feeds, I saw a lot of people posting about their top fives and, you know, music and songs, bands and songs, and I learned something about my friends too. Like, I didn't know that you enjoyed lo-fi so much, Althea, and I appreciate that about you now because lo-fi is great.
Yeah, my Spotify has a lot of lo-fi on it because I use it to go to sleep when I have a hard time. But it's also good music to sort of like get in the zone with working too.
To study and chill, some would say even.
Yeah,
lo-fi according to YouTube, it's perfect for that.
I hope that character on that screen like eventually passes that test because he's been studying and studying for years. I'm like, phew.
Oh, that's funny.
But speaking of top 20 wrap up 2020, I did want to share one of the songs that was on my top five, and it's an uplifting song. It's by Sisters from, I think it was northern Nigeria, or west Nigeria. I'm not sure. I should double check that. But it's a great song, and I wanted to share it with everyone here. And after that, we're going to be coming back and talking about some interesting stuff, some scams. That's right, online scams, phone scams. What other scams are there? Personal scams, mm-hmm. cons, all of
there
that
were
stuff.
Probably fax scams. I don't know if those are super prevalent now.
Fax scam. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure Kabu still gets fax scams all the time. There's definitely just a lot of papers in those fax machines, and I don't think it's anything legit. But yeah. Yeah, but for right now, we're going to take a little musical break. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is the one and only Althea, and in the studio, as always, the trusty Sonia. We'll be back in a couple of moments. Yes, the Lisa Du Sisters with Come On Home. What a good song. It just makes me want to drive down an open road with sunglasses on and, you know, fall. And I don't know, just puts me in a good mood. And that was song number 3. I would have played other songs, but I felt like playing this one. And I hope that you enjoyed it. For me, to you, personally curated by Portland's number one brainchild of music. And more. The one and only Tammy.
It was really good. I appreciate that, and you're right and smart and good for choosing that song.
Thank you. That's literally the adjective that Spotify used to describe me as well. So
telling me what a good person I am.
Yeah. They were saying things like pious, and I was like, whoa, okay.
Whoa. Hey.
Okay. But speaking of piety, you had an interesting thing happen to your people this week.
Yeah.
And it sparked an idea of maybe bringing it onto the show and talking about it here on the Gap and Kabu Portland.
Talking
if you'd
about
like to.
Yeah, I can go into it a little bit.
As much We're as you can from the pending lawsuits.
From the many lawsuits that have been filed. No, there haven't been lawsuits filed. But you know, I feel like every year around this time, like, you see news stories about, like, oh, it's the holiday season, be careful, people are trying to scam you. But this one was, like, much more close to home. A family member of mine got sort of both hacked and scammed this week. And what ended up happening was that, excuse me, they had gotten these basically phishing emails, phishing with a PH, if you've heard of those before, that were pretending to be their like their internet or their email server saying like, hey, you got to validate your password. Hey, you got to validate your password. And like they disregarded it a certain number of times and then eventually validated it. And then Sunday night, everybody got a weird email. Everybody in the, in my family member's entire address book, and like my family member has had this email since 2008, and so like all of these different people got this email, and the email was asking if it seemed like very like innocuous. The first one, it's like, hey, do you have an Amazon account? I have a favor to ask. And there were some people who like emailed back and were like, yeah, like what do you want? Why? We didn't see those emails except in people's screenshots, but basically the scammer who had gotten access to their email account was trying to get people to buy an Amazon gift card, to buy a Sephora gift card with this like elaborate story about how they needed it for their niece, Catherine. There's no Catherines in my family. But also like deleted the entire address book. So there wasn't a way to go back and clean it up with all of those people, because all of those addresses had been lost. So that was pretty intense. And it just got me to thinking about scam, hacking, phishing, all of that kind of stuff. I've gotten close before. I know, Tammy, you've gotten close as well. And the people in your family have gotten close. Listeners, if you want to call in, we would be interested to hear your stories. Have you ever gotten scammed or gotten close? And like, if you got close, what tipped you off that it was a scam? Because here's the thing about the one that happened in my family this week is that it was relatively slick. Like, this is somebody that I'm close to. It's like, why wouldn't you just text me or call me if you needed help with Amazon? Like, I would help you. You wouldn't send me an email about this, but they've gotten much slicker, I guess, in the internet age, if you will.
Oh, I
can give the number. Call us at 503-231-8187. We would love to hear from you.
And I wanted to, if listeners are wondering, there's all this different type of, we do have a little clip too with a little bit of advice of what to do to better protect yourself. But we have a couple of phrases that I just want to highlight. Phishing, and that is when someone tries to, like you just said, obtain sensitive information, like passwords, data, usernames, credit card. Then you have malware, which is it's a software that is designed to damage a computer, server, or a computer network. And there's a bunch of different kinds, from computer viruses, Trojan horses, shout out 2002, spyware, adware, stuff like that. And then you have ransomware, which I think that's more of like, I'm not sure like how much like, I don't know if that's more for larger companies or, you know, people who are rich, you know, where it's basically like crypto. It's like a crypto virus, and it threatens to publish your data or block access until you pay up. I know that there's some, women where I forgot what year it was, but there was like a slew of women that were, I think it was Blake Lively or something, and they got ransomware for their provocative pictures that they had on their computer. So they could be quite stressful, because it's like, gosh, you know, it's like just so scary, especially when you get these phone calls, right? Young people in their 20s, you know, getting phone calls like, the IRS is going to arrest you and the CIA is going to come kidnap you right now if you don't give me a Bitcoin gift card from this, you know, coffee shop down the street. And it can be very stressful, you know, just empty out savings, empty out checking accounts. My grandmother she got a Social Security scam on the phone. Thank God she had some sort of protection from the bank and stuff. But imagine if you can't prove it, or if you don't have your protection, like she, you know, people end up not, I mean, there are some horror stories out there, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think some of the mentality has changed a little bit. Like, I think generally speaking, people have their guard up thinking about, oh, I probably shouldn't give out my Social Security number and I can't give out my credit card willy-nilly. But that now there's sort of like a shift where, like, if someone's asking you for or trying to scam you, they'll want like a gift card, an Amazon gift card, a Visa prepaid gift card, and you have to go out to a store and get it and give it to them somehow. But that they want that because that's not traceable. That's not necessarily.
Cover the track.
Yeah, someone like because I think credit card or banks generally have gotten a bit more savvy with like understanding what your normal spending habits are. And so they'll give you a call. I got one a few years ago. It's like, hey, did you spend $200 at Zoomies? And I was like, no, I've never been to Zoomies in my life. And they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll refund that charge like that. And we'll send you like a new card. And I was like, okay, great. Like it got taken care of really easily.
I think there's also something very, if listeners have any stories and want to, you know, share theirs and what they did and how they got out of it, you can call in 503-231-8187. I think there's also this, at least personally, I think when I get these calls, because I think one time I almost, it was very distressful, and they know a lot of details that are just kind of like, what? Okay, so if you know this, it's like they're very targeted, you know, like targeted ads, it's targeted scams, and we're constantly putting out our information on the internet, or, you know, I know I do, you know, just from either, you know, ordering food or setting up an account on something or whatever, you're putting your information out there, and it can be problematic, very problematic.
Yeah, it really can. There's so many ways that it can show up, right? Like you can get scammed in like a sense when you're like sort of in this sort of fear-based scam, right? It's like, oh my God, something's wrong with my computer. That was the one that I almost got. This was a few years ago. I was in college and my computer wasn't working good. I had some kind of virus, and somehow there was like some people who were trying to scam me who had like access to my, or have been like, oh, are you having problems with your computer? Because sometimes, like, I don't know, whatever your operating system is will like notice and be like, hey, connect with someone who can help you. And they did that, and like I talked to them and they seemed relatively legit, and they had like taken over control of my computer saying that they were going to fix it. But then they started saying like, oh, you got to go out and get three $100 Visa gift cards. And this is while I'm on the phone with them and my computer's right there. And I was like, you want what? And I was like, oh, so I just like go to the store and get that for you? And they're like, yeah, just go to the store and get that for us. And that is what like event like raised the alarm bells, because I was already scared, you know, like, oh, all of my
computers
could be lost. There's all of these different like pieces of information that is on my computer that I might not have access to, or like whatever the virus has maybe taken it already. Like I was so scared. But then that kind of like put off alarm bells in my head where I was like, you want that? Huh? Okay. Yeah. I'll go do that right now and I'll call you back when I do. And then I hung up the phone, blocked the number, and turned my computer off for like 4 days.
Jeez, that's quite a fright.
It seemed to work okay. I don't have a, you know, IT specialty, but.
That's terrifying. We do have a caller on the line, and I'd like to hear their story as well. Are we connected with you, caller? Hey, yeah.
How you doing? Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
I think I have a number of stories, but about a month ago, I got a phone call from my mother, who's in her 80s. I have a teenage son who has been living in London, England since he was like 5. And he hasn't been to America since he was like 15. But apparently, my mother called me and says, hey, is your son in America? I said, no. What happened? And she said she got a phone call. She thinks it's a scam. Somebody imitating a British accent with my son's name called her and said he'd been stopped by the police in some state, I don't know what, Kansas, Idaho, whatever, and the police stopped him and he's in trouble, and can she talk to his lawyer? So then he gives another number, and the number goes to some man, claims to be a lawyer representing my son, and says he needs bail money, $2,000, $3,000, something like that. And so my mother didn't give any money up. She called me to confirm, like, what's going on? I said, no, there's no way, he's not in America. This is all fake. So.
Wow.
That's so elaborate.
Talk about targeted. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That must have been very distressing. That's your grandkids, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of phone call centers in Pakistan, India, focus on the elderly Americans. And my mother is pretty savvy. She doesn't fall for these things. But I understand a lot of people they focus on fear. They try to get the person very fearful that the police are coming for them because they made a mistake on their taxes, and the IRS has put out a warrant for their arrest, and there's some elderly person maybe all alone at home, and they're scared, and they think they've got to come up with the $500 Walmart cards or whatever to pay them off, which is crazy, but the people on the other line sound convincing. They've got them scared.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. And when you're fearful, you know, right in the heat of it, you don't think clearly because you're, you know, it's a different part of your brain that's working. That's right. Terrible. I'm glad that she was able to deflect that. That's pretty great.
Mm. Yeah, well, and I get calls from odd places. I just don't answer. Hello?
Yeah, that's a good call, too. Call if you'll
call. Thank you for informing the public. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
That is
specific. I remember I told you my grandmother had a thing, and it was a flower shop, and the flower shop had someone in the family had sent flowers to one of her granddaughters because she was graduating, and long story short, they got the name, and it was terrifying. They basically knew everything about the granddaughter. Same thing, they said, she's here in jail and you have to bail her out, and it was all fake. It was all just this elaborate scheme, and it's just, I don't like to just say this word willy-nilly, but it's just, I find it to be quite evil, and I, you know, in spirit, and being, you know, just being taken for a ride like that is just so, it's scary. It makes, you know, feel small, like, you know, makes you feel like you were the problem when it was, you know, you were preyed on. It's infuriating to me personally.
Yeah, it's upsetting. And especially when you feel like you got close, or if you do get caught, there's so much like shame around that, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, if I almost fell for it, it's like, I have a feeling in my gut, like, mm-hmm. Oh my Lord, like I got so, so close to like, doing something that's not reversible. And it's also interesting in that case that you were talking about, that the information came from could come from an external source getting hacked. Like it could be your workplace, or it could be something else that is where they get the information that makes them sound legit.
It's too much info. Yeah. And now, you know, we're in the digital age where things are online, so it's even more, I guess, is also just good old trash cans by businesses, which it's just, that's man, we do have another caller on the line. Berth, is that, are you
Berth,
on with
go
us
go ahead, you're live. Okay,
good
now
morning.
Go ahead.
Hello, there you are. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Mine are real small stories, but we've gotten, my wife and I are both 65 plus, so we've gotten text messages and emails saying, and phone calls saying, your Social Security has been suspended, and you know, you need to call this number right away to see what's going on. And I figured they were a scam. I actually called the number and got some boiler room operation where I could hear a lot of phones and a lot of people talking. And I said, you know, okay, what's up? And the guy says, well, what's up? I said, well, you told me to call about my Social Security. And he started to go into some little pattern. And I said, listen, why don't you quit this scam and go get yourself a real job? And I hung up. But these are fairly frightening because for a lot of people, that's their only income. And if you get a foul, as it were, of the government system, your life can be very, very difficult. So it's an easy scam that doesn't take a lot of background information. So people just need to be aware of it. The Social Security will never contact you by phone to do anything about your account. So that's just one of them. The other one was, I made the mistake of applying for an extended warranty on my car that was starting to get old, and I have gotten phone calls for that. For a while, it was every day, and now it's, you know, once or twice every week or 2 weeks, but it never stops. That, oh, just, you know, push this button to be taken off our call list. It doesn't work. They just call you forever. So don't do that one, folks. Those are my two cents. I'm happy you're doing the show.
Oh, thank you.
Keep it up. Good day.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love the point that they brought up about the government, because during the first stimulus check round in whatever month it was of 2020, what are months anymore, I recall numerous people being getting got for their checks. We have a friend, and the same day that they got their check, they lost it, because it was the same thing. The IRS called. They said, "You owe us," and it just happened to be the exact number of, you know, what the stimulus was, this amount of money, and you have to do it right now, or again, the FBI is going to come to your house with a helicopter and take you in the middle of the night. And it's terrifying. And the same day they got it, they lost it. And it's not like this, you know, this is a person that can afford to do that. You know, we're talking about the most vulnerable people. He's a bartender in LA that was just let go. And I mean, that was it. And you can imagine what kind of headspace you already, you know, we're already in these scary times, adding, you know, scamming on top of it. And we do have a bit of a clip that from ABC News talking about, you know, just that, how the pandemic has been a source for scams for people, for con artists or, you know, scammers. Let me know if you have that ready to roll, Sonia, whenever you have it.
Sorry, I was on the phone. What's up?
Oh, sorry. We were just going to play the 2 minute clip from ABC News about the scamming during pandemic and how to avoid it.
Okay, here we go.
For any new information on COVID-19, anywhere. And hackers are capitalizing on that. There is a flood of emails and websites promising vital information on the virus when, in fact, most are just phishing emails designed to steal personal information and money. Here to walk us through how to avoid those phishing scams is senior technology writer at Consumer Reports, Bree Fowler. Bree, thanks for being with us. And yes, the end game for end goal for many of these cyber criminals is your personal information and your money, but also something even bigger at times.
Right. I mean, a lot of people are working at home, and if they can get into a corporate network with everyone's information, that's even better for them.
All right. You've got five tips to help us avoid these phishing scams. The first one is think before you click.
Right. Just stop and take a breath. These scams work best when people are worried, when they're freaking out, when they're clicking on things that they shouldn't. If something seems weird, don't click on it. Don't open it. Just delete it.
And then you say examine the link. How do you do that?
Right. I mean, this goes for addresses where email is coming from as well. I mean, if it's not coming from the CDC, if it's cdc.ru or .com, just be careful about things like that.
Yeah. Your third one is a very big one. Do not open the attachment or links.
This goes for any kind of email, not just coronavirus type stuff, but you never should open attachments from people you do not know. It could be spyware that's going to get downloaded onto your computer, or ransomware that could just lock it all completely down.
You also say to turn on auto update and security tools. How do you do that, and why?
Well, on computers and on your phones, and this goes for things like routers and apps as well. Software makers, hardware makers are constantly updating their stuff to protect us from things like this. And you can't be protected if you don't have the latest update.
Also, you say pick up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these scams, they may be from the CDC or the WHO, but they also could be from Bob in accounting or Joe in IT. You know, they may want to reset your credentials or say you have a virus. Call Bob in accounting, call Joe in IT.
All right, so beware. These are trying times for everyone. All right,
yes.
Bree Fowler, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for that. A couple of tips about how to protect yourself during these, she said, uncertain times, as they like to hear. And we do have another caller on the line. Steven, are you still there with us?
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's good. My my wife's best friend, she is on Social Security, and she has you know, it was during, I want to say it was in June, July. She was on Facebook, and a guy got a hold of her and claimed that he was, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was from Ghost Adventures, the lead guy there, and had been talking to her for quite some time and really playing on the emotional strings. Sudden one day, you know, he's talking to her and says he wants her to make a donation, you know, wants her to donate to this charity that he donates to every month, and ended up getting her, you know, she thought she was in love, and he was all serious, and next thing you know, he deposited $25,000 into her checking account, and then says, you know, that I want you to send $15,000 of this over to this charity, which actually she ended up going and putting it in an envelope at UPS, and UPS'd it off to New Jersey, and now the bank's coming after her for this money. You know, it's real sad that when they did the investigations, coming to find out the money was the checks that were deposited were actually unemployment checks. And they just played the little heartstrings and got her to, you know, to fall for all this. And so now they're, you know, they're trying to get that $15,000 back from her. So she's possibly looking at criminal charges, because there's no way that they can prove that she wasn't a part of it.
That is, wow. That's heartbreaking.
That's chilling, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry for. I hope that they get the help that they need legally to fight this. That's incredibly, that's terrifying.
Yeah, we told her, and the sad part was, is, you know, that these people had her so wrapped up into, you know, thinking that this was really him, that the crazy thing was is I kept telling her, you need to pull the money out and you need to go to the bank with it. You need to let them know. Don't send anything. And she's like, oh, no, but, I said, you need to listen to us. And, of course, you know, she sent it off anyway. And the worst part was the crazy part was, is when she went to the bank with the $10,000 that she had left, they're like, whoa, oh, okay. Well, not even 20 minutes after she left the bank, they had dropped another $9,000 unemployment check into her account, which the bank caught at that time. We had gotten we helped her out and got a hold of UPS to have them reverse the shipment, you know, so it would be returned, which unfortunately they never did. It got delivered to this house that was vacant. So somebody got the money. But when she had sent him an email, or when she sent him a text message telling him, you know, after she had called and tried to reverse it, she's like, oh, you know, I know this is a scam. They started sending her threatening her. They were going to come to her house, send people to her house. And unfortunately, she was living with us at the time. But because she had taken a picture of the shipping label, so they had the address. They were blowing up her phone with threats. I mean, it's really crazy what people do these days, you know, just to get money.
Wow.
That's an incredible cautionary tale. And thank you for sharing it with us. And I hope that, you know, it helps people. And I hope that, again, your friend finds the help that they need. That's incredible. That's really...
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to have friends like that, but in a situation like that, when a person is so wrapped up, you know, even, you know, a voice of reason, it's going to be not going to be heard. And thank you so much for sharing that. We do have another caller that I'd like to get to. Do we have Don on the line, Sonia?
Yes.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Well, I'm good. Now, I have a couple of comments about this.
Would you like to share a story with us?
Well, in part it's a story, yeah. But I have a couple of comments about this sort of thing. I get anywhere from 10 to 20 robocalls a day that are all scams, I'm sure. And I got tired of the phone ringing all the time and having to, you know, I only use a cell phone, so I was having to pull my phone out of my pocket all the time to see who was calling. And I finally got tired of it, so I put a silent ringtone on anybody, or as my default, actually. And then anybody that's on my contact list, I have ringtones for. And if somebody's calling me that I don't have their number on my contact list, if it's legitimate, they will leave a message. In fact, a lot of the robocalls end up leaving recorded messages, and then I have to go back and delete them all. But at least it's less annoying that way. And also on text that I get all the time, which I still get, I don't find a way really to block them because they're all using bogus numbers or dead numbers, actually, that display. And but I get them all the time that are saying, like, you know, this is Fred or something from FedEx, and we're trying to deliver a package to you, and we need to have you confirm your address and some other information, whatever. And then the link that they send you is just a jumble of letters that makes absolutely no sense. Well, obviously, if it was FedEx, it would say FedEx.com/something or other that you're going to. So I delete all of those, but people need to watch out for those and not be suckered in by them. If the link doesn't make any sense to you at all and doesn't match up with what they're trying to represent themselves to be, then just delete it, you know, don't even hit on it. And I don't know if you've covered that before or not, because I just tuned in a little bit ago.
Well, thank you for those tips. That's those are good tips. Yeah, always double checking the number or the link. Sometimes the numbers aren't even full digit numbers. Like I said, they're just display numbers. That's good points. Thank you so much for that. Althea, do you have any we have about 15 minutes left of the program. I'm really loving all these and stories. If callers want to call in, 503-231-8187. We're talking about scams and you know, phone scams, internet scams. Of course, there was that was really quite a heartbreaking story about the there's, you know, the romantic scam, that's also a thing. It's very prevalent.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it kind of goes to, right, we were talking about before, what are, like, the narratives, kind of, or what are the things, what are the scammers trying to play off of? And sometimes it's fear. We've talked a lot about those ones. But sometimes it could be romance, or it could be a desire to make money, or that you think you're getting a good deal on something. But I mean, always good to stick by that. I don't know if it's a proverb, but like the idea that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, and is like worth looking at a second time. Yeah, I mean, we're not even really getting into the whole catfishing thing. I've had people in my life who have been catfished before, especially in like the world of online dating, or, you know, emails and Facebook and stuff. And like, you know, things have gotten a lot more savvy in terms of like scams on the internet since, you know, the 1990s or whatever, when you were getting an email from a deposed prince who needed you to wire them $1,000 or whatever.
Oh yes, I do remember that, and it was an ongoing thing, you know, because it you know, because it starts off with these little things. But, you know, I mean, even just in this program, we're hearing so many people, and I thought I was the only one 10 calls a day from, you know, spam numbers and text messages. And I have so many voicemails from some of them aren't even in English, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to even click or even look at it, just delete it instantly. And we do have one more caller on the line. Joan, are you there with us?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Just to confirm what you just said, I live in a building where there are a lot of people who speak Chinese, and I receive a lot of robocalls too. And some of the calls that I get are in Chinese, meaning they're targeting people who don't speak English and who are not and who are old and who are not necessarily going to understand what's going on here. So that's really evil. The second thing I'm going to suggest is a political action. There are too many companies, that will sometimes refuse to do business with you if you don't give them your social security number. If you want some kind of service and somebody says, well, what's your social security number, you can say why, and don't give it if you possibly can avoid it. And I would suggest that people call their senators and their other representatives and say, hey, there's got to be some laws passed about companies like phone companies and internet companies that will ask for your social security number in order to somehow verify you that you're a legitimate person. The only people that have a right to your social security number are the IRS and the Social Security Department, and maybe your hospital. But even with Medicare, they've assigned people different numbers. The Medicare numbers used to be the Social Security numbers, and there was so much scamming of people on Medicare that they actually, you know, sent everybody on Medicare a special Medicare number to avoid that. So I would suggest some political action. You know, people will apply for an apartment, and the landlord, who might be some guy you never heard of, right, will say, well, I need your social security number to check your credit. This kind of thing should be against the law. I once applied for an apartment, and the thing was, there was an application, you know, put this piece of paper under the door with your bank account number, your social security number, your phone number, your birth date, your mother's maiden name. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
This kind of
thing. Oh, you're 100% right. There have been
laws,
yeah.
There have been laws in California passed against this. There should be a way for a person to get essential services without giving out their social security number to every jerk who asks for it. And that's my comment. I'm suggesting that people, you know, organize a little bit about this one. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that maybe is historically tough to organize around because, you know, people will live in shame about the things that they've, you know, kind of fallen prey to, you could say. I know that elected officials will recommend that if there is a scam, whether it's like a phone scam or an email scam, that people report it to the Better Business Bureau, especially if there is like, you know, a business or something attached to it, so that, you know, they can keep an eye on it as well. I've never done that personally, but yeah, there, people should be able to access essential services without, you know, doing something so risky as sharing your personal information like that. I appreciate your comment.
It's also like on applications, you know, and, you know, let's say you're not going to necessarily get the job. You're not going to necessarily get the apartment. So now you just have this person, just has your social security number and your mom's, you know, birthstone and all of this stuff. And you're like, wait a minute, you know, that made me think about looking back at all, or at least getting some sort of, you know, confirmation that it's been disposed of in a proper way. And then what's a proper way? Now you're going to have people going to where these things are getting disposed of. And, you know, but this has been an ongoing thing as long as I think, you know, society's been, you know, thriving on means of capitalism and all. And I mean, even before that, you know, you'd get conned out of like your sheep, you get conned out of your, you know, partner, you get conned out of gold and water and food, you know.
Snake oil salesman rolls into town with a wagon.
Boom, there you go. No, that's very true. That's very true. And it's the con has shifted, you know, it has many, many faces. Some say there's, you know, there's a con artists aren't just, you know, in the shadows, you know, some say that they're in houses that are painted white in D.C., you know, some people say this. I don't know who, you know, exactly, but that's just a thing I heard. But it's gosh, that's so heartbreaking. And all of the ongoing words that I notice, you know, people saying and, you know, mentioning as well, fear, love, you know, in the moment, it's these things that are, that you're not thinking clearly when you're in the midst of it, you know, and it's getting someone so riled up, telling them, you know, you're about to get arrested or you don't love me if you don't do this. And then being an accessory on top of it, that's even more terrifying, I think.
It's like, yeah, that, their actual that case repercussions. In particular. Yeah, Ooh. Is rough. It's really rough. Well, and I think that, you know, it's for once on my end, at least, like it feels good to talk about it. It feels good to be sharing stories and even, you know, hearing from the callers, like I learned different ways of, you know, ways that you can get got, so to speak. that I didn't know about before. So even just like, you know, taking a beat before you respond to that email, before you click that link, or asking some, like a second pair of eyes. I know that like a lot of my, you know, internet security habits, like, do I have good passwords? I don't use the same password for everything anymore. Or, you know, how do I manage my accounts? Do I know what they all are? Like, a lot of that is influenced by the fact that, like, I work at a job that has, like, you know, people that work in that kind of thing. Like, I have an email address that they tell me how to manage and to, like, change passwords on and stuff. And otherwise, I might not do that kind of thing to keep an eye out on what my security is, and that, you know, like, a long, complicated password is really annoying, but it is really, really helpful. It's so much harder to crack, and using that on your important accounts and changing them is also like really important, and it sucks to do. I don't like doing it, I'll be the first to say it, but it's a good habit to be in, to have, you know, different passwords and stuff.
Yes, and we do. Sonia, I know that you had texted me here a little tip that you have about legitimate business and the written word, but also some tips from a caller who didn't want to get on the show but has some tips for us.
Yeah, they shared with us an 800 number for a do not call registry. When you call this number and it does an automated thing, you enter your phone number and then no one's supposed to call it. No one's supposed to call that number. You know, this is a list of numbers that, like, people are on notice. You are not allowed to call this number. That's your number. And then when people call it, when unwanted calls come, you can call that number again and report it, and they'll go after them. And that number is 888-382-1222. One more time, if
awesome,
you didn't have something ready.
Oh.
888-382-1222. We can add that to our episode page on kbu.fm as well if you're missing that number.
Yeah, and what I was saying earlier is that legit business is always done in writing. If you never hear from people except on the phone, that's probably not for real.
Thank you. Those are good tips. I mean, hey, that goes back to the catfishing too. If you're not videotaping, you know, if you're not seeing each other, I don't know. Legit business, done writing, sometimes in person. And yeah, this is really interesting, and I'm glad that so many people were inclined to call and share their story, because like you said, I don't think there should be any shame around this, because this isn't, you know, being a being, I don't say necessarily a victim, but being targeted is pretty, you know, it's intense, and it's shocking, and it's traumatizing almost. And I'm glad that people are sharing their cautionary tales. We do have a couple more minutes left in the program. We do have time for one more caller. Just keep it sweet and short. Boris, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, okay. I've got some advice for the audience. I, like many people, have been plagued with scam calls for a long time, and I actually called the Consumer Protection Hotline down in Salem several years ago and got a woman who was very helpful. She said, she gave me very specific instructions on what not to do. And first and foremost, do not answer the call. If you have voicemail screening, do not pick up the receiver, do not answer the cell phone. But if you do screw up and pick up the receiver, she said, by all means, do not push whatever button they tell you to be removed from the list. That's a scam. What it does is it tells them that you're at home and that you're inclined to pick up the phone. You go to the head of the list if you push that number that says, if you want to be removed, push this number. So that's pretty important to realize.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. Thank you. I did not know this. Thank
and one
so
other
much.
Thing that it's speculation on my part, but it's happened often enough that I don't think it's coincidence. And I mentioned this to the woman at the time. She said, I'll make a note of it. I think that they have technology now to monitor phone lines, to tell when you're on the phone, and that tells them that you're home. Because I've noticed on many occasions, if I talk on the phone very much, which I don't as a rule, I don't use the phone a lot, but if I do, when I hang up within that half hour following, I'm starting to get a number of spam calls. So to me, it indicates that they know that I'm home and they really stop barraging me with these calls. So that's
interesting.
Technology now is like, it's hard to keep up with it, how fast it's progressing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you for that. And be monitoring and kind of being conscious of you know, when you're getting them and stuff like that. That's interesting. Got a lot of really good information. And we are going to be putting it up on the website, that's kboo.fm. And we are, looks like we're about done with our hour here. It was really awesome. Thank you everyone for calling in and listening. I'm Tammy. This is The Gap. On the line with me is my better half, Althea. And in the studio, the one and only Sonia.
The better third.
Any last... Thank you all so much. Have a fantastic weekend. Take care.
Thanks all.
And that's it. Take care. See ya.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio has been chosen to be part of GiveGuide by Willamette Week. When you show your support for KBOO on GiveGuide or any of the other